To take God's word, please turn to the book of James, chapter 5. I'm not sure to drink out of this cup or not up here. It says gold vase with a big T on it. I'm an Alabama fan, just in case you're wondering. What is that wooing sound I hear? Amen. James chapter 5, we've come to verse number 13 all the way through verse 18. For time's sake, we're just going to read verse number 16. I appreciate you praying for my wife and I and our family as we were in Florida holding a week of meetings. Had a great week. Had some folks saved and lives changed. We praise God for that. And we thank the Lord He's still in the soul-saving business. And what He's doing in sister churches around the country. And how God's working in a mighty way. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the words, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And I want to preach to you on that subject tonight. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for our preacher. And thank You for the over 46 plus years now that he's been faithfully shepherding this flock. We thank You for how You've blessed him in such an obvious, great way. Thank You for his dear wife and for this church. And I thank You, Lord, for the prospect of this meeting. May You help me to preach, Lord, the way that I cannot preach. May You speak to hearts and change lives tonight. And would You encourage us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We've been traveling through the book of James, and we come to chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. In a first glance, after reading this portion of Scripture, one may think the emphasis God is making is on sickness and healing. However, upon close examination, we see this is a classic example of seeing one minor point to the neglect of the major point. And may I say to you tonight that this text's main emphasis is not on sickness and healing, but rather on the child of God and his prayer life. Matter of fact, if you'll notice, beginning in verse number 13 all the way through verse 18, the word pray or prayed or a derivative of it is used in every verse. In verse number 13, it says, let him pray. Verse number 14, let them pray. Verse number 15, the prayer of faith. Verse number 16, pray one for another, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Verse number 17, he prayed earnestly. In verse 18, he prayed again. I mean, I say to you that if you'll notice, prayer is mentioned at least once in every one of these verses. And notice carefully, verse number 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And let me say here that Bible Christianity provides something that's unique and special. And what it provides is a personal relationship with the living God. And before we were born into the family of God, we were lost, guilty, and condemned to a devil's hell. But God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And when we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we who were unholy were declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen right there. Romans chapter 5 verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, or Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. And once we're declared righteous, God gives us the exalted privilege to converse with Him and talk to Him with assurance that He hears a righteous man. The Bible says in Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Proverbs 15, 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. John 9, 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. The fact is, being made righteous in God's sight does not depend upon status or sustenance, but it depends upon receiving Jesus Christ as one Savior. And when one receives the Lord as their Savior, their effectual, fervent prayer avails much.
Not talking about listless, indifferent, cold, and lifeless praying, but earnest and active and mighty praying. And what I want to do tonight is consider the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And we're going to put it under the scope of God's word here and see some things about it. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm ready to see God touch this world by his power. And the only way he's going to do that is if God's children get serious in the matter of their praying and calling upon God. See, we're taught to pray. We need to pray and we must pray. And there'll never be a great move of God in this or any other congregation until the people first learn how to get a hold of God. Now, there's some things about effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that I want to bring to your attention tonight. Number one, the first thing we notice about it is the instance for it. In other words, when are we supposed to pray fervently and effectually? It's interesting in verses 13 and 14, look at it. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And notice in these verses that God's children are to pray or be involved by calling on prayer in so many different times in life. In verse number 13, the Bible says, when you are afflicted, that word afflicted means when you're undergoing hardship, when you're enduring hardness or suffering trouble, he's saying the answer in that time of affliction is prayer. And he goes on to say, is any merry among you? He said, let him sing psalms. In other words, that word merry means be cheerful. In other words, when things are going great, you're to be praising God and praying to him and thanking him for his goodness in your life. And it goes on to say, is any among you sick? In verse 14, that word sick means feeble, diseased, or weak. And the answer to that again is prayer. I don't know if you see what I see, but what I see is the bottom line is whether we're going through heartache, trials, sickness, or cheer. I'm talking about whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley or halfway down or halfway up. We are commanded at all instants in life to have effectual, fervent prayer as a righteous man. Turning to God for strength and help in time of need and praising him for his goodness in times of goodness. In other words, our attention is to be centered on God in prayer during all instants of life. Now, I'm convicted to even preach on this because I'm not the prayer warrior that I need to be, but God knows I want to be. In other words, what God is saying, he's saying no matter what you're going through, whether things are good, things are bad, whatever the case may be, the answer is the same. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible tells us in Luke 18, 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Romans 12, 2, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. The first major point we noticed about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man are the instance of it. In other words, what time should I pray? When should I be fervent? When should I be effectual in the prayer closet? And the answer is at every single point in life, we're to be praying. Second thing we notice about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, not only the instance for it, but number two, the ingredient in it. We see this in verse number 15 where the Bible tells us, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And we notice that the ingredient of effectual fervent prayer is the ingredient of faith. Folks, let me tell you something tonight. God does hear and answer prayer. He really does. But he does so in response to faith. And the Bible says in Matthew 21, 22, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. The Bible says in James chapter 1, you don't have to turn to it, but you could if you want. It's right there in the same book, James 1, 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it should be given him. But notice verse 6, well, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I heard a story right here. I've got it in my notes. When Hudson Taylor went to China, he made the voyage on a sailing ship. And as it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door, and he opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. He said, "Mr. Taylor," he said, "if we had no wind and we're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen and I fear they're cannibals, what can I do?" asked Hudson Taylor. The captain replied and said, "I understand that you believe in God, so I want you to pray for wind." "All right, captain," Dr. Taylor said. He said, "but here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to go set the sail." Faith. The captain said, "What are you talking about? There's nothing, nothing, a wind at all." But he went ahead and did it anyway. And after 45 minutes, he came back and found the missionary still on his knees. And he made this statement. He said, "You can stop praying now." He said, "We've got more wind than we know what to do with." You say, that's coincidence. And that's unbelief. That's what God does with the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It availeth much. All I'm saying is that you need something from God, then it must be asked for in faith. Now, I'm not saying here because it would contradict Scripture elsewhere that God will give you everything you ask for. But you can ask in faith, believing that He knows best. And whatever He answers is the best thing for you. Unless it is in Scripture. And if it's in Scripture, you can come to Him believing in faith and He will answer your prayer. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God." For instance, folks, if there's a need in your life, I mean a real need, not a want, but a need. If you really have a need, you have Scripture to base your prayer life on. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You can go to God as a righteous man. I'm talking about somebody who's saved, born again. If you're not righteous, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're saved, you're righteous, and you can go to God and have effectual, fervent prayer and believe God that He's given you a promise in His Word. And you say, "God, you told me in Philippians 4:19 that you will supply all of my need." Go to Him in faith. Watch God move mountains in your life, and He'll take care of you. He really will. I'm talking about things that if there's a fear in your life, God will replace that. 2 Timothy 1:17, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You ever been afraid? You ever been afraid of something? Afraid of cancer? Afraid of somebody going to do something to you? I'm talking about fearful, fearful, fearful. At that time, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Go to God. And say, "God, your word tells me that you've not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Give me that sound mind. Give me that love. Give me that power." And before you know it, the fear is gone and God's peace is pervading over your being. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. If there's a burden, God will lift it. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." If there's a sin, God will forgive it. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All I'm trying to say is to see that when we pray, if we will just pray believing God and believing His word based upon the revealed will of God, He will hear and answer our prayers. He will. He will, folks. This is not some figment of our imagination. God loves to hear from His righteous children. And when we talk to Him, He said, "If you'll believe me, I'll give it to you according to my word." By the way, let me say another thing that I've already said here. Many times we ask Him things that's not in His word. And He can hear and answer those prayers, but He's not bound to, you understand. And in those situations where there's not a clear verse like "He shall supply your need according to His riches in glory," if you're praying about something right now and God's not answered your prayer according to your will, that doesn't mean God hasn't heard you. Because let me remind you that no is an answer just like yes is. God answers prayer. But we've got to have faith to believe that when we come to Him, He knows best and that He knows more than we do. And He'll answer according to His will. For instance, years ago, a pastor was called to the home of a widow whose teenage daughter was the apple of her eye.
When he got to the home that particular day, she told him that at age 3, the girl was very sick, and the doctor said that she would die. We all understand the shock to that mother, but we cannot justify a reaction. When this teenage girl was 3 years old and she heard about this, she told God, she said this, she said, "I accused God of being cruel, and I demanded that he would spare my daughter. Matter of fact, I told him that if he did not spare my daughter, I'd never trust him again." So you know what happened? God spared her daughter. But that particular evening, as that pastor was sitting there, see, the child had grown up and lived a normal life for 13 years. But then she joined with bad companions, and at the age of 17, she got into real trouble and broke her mother's heart. The tragic end of the story was told by that weeping woman when the pastor arrived at her home that day, and she said, "My Janie is dead." She said she took her own life last night, and I found her in her bedroom. And after several minutes of convulsive sobbing, she concluded, how I wish God had taken her when she was 3 years old. How I wish I had not insisted on having my own way. You better watch out what you pray for, folks. And you better be careful putting God on a timeline. And you better be careful insisting things from God. Because I'm going to tell you something. God sees what you cannot see. And God knows best for you. Now, if it's something in His Word, go to God in faith, believing He's going to answer you, because He will not break His promise to you. But even on those situations that are not in the Bible clearly, and you're praying about it, you're seeking God about it, all these kind of things, you pray, but you leave the answer to God and believe that whatever answer He says is the best for you. And that effectual, fervent prayer will make a difference in your life. The instance for it. Number two, the ingredient in it. Number three, the influence of it. We're looking at the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The third thing we look at is the influence of it. In verses 14 through 16, some of the most misappropriated verses in all the Word of God. And by the way, this is one thing that preaching through a book does. It forces you to deal with things that you really don't want to deal with. In verse 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they have been forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Anybody want to deal with that for me tonight? But you know what I'm glad of? I'm glad in my study that there's no contradictions in God's Word. Now, I'm going to explain this to you, folks. What these verses are saying is that the effectual, fervent prayer has influence over different times in life. Now, stay with me here. The Bible says it availeth much. That means it prevails or can do much. It's been said that prayer moves the arm that moves the world, and if there's anything that can prevail with God, it's prayer. Humble, fervent, earnest petitioning. We have no power to control Him. You can't dictate or prescribe to Him. You can't resist Him in the execution of His purposes. But we can ask Him for what we desire. And He has graciously said that such asking can affect much for our own good and the good of our fellow men. Now, nothing's been more clearly demonstrated in the history of the world than the prayer is effectual in obtaining blessings from God and accomplishing great and valuable purposes. But God has graciously purposed that His favor shall be granted to those who call upon Him, and that what no mere human power can effect should be produced by His power in answer to effectual, fervent praying. Now, in these verses, I see two areas where the effectual, fervent praying of a righteous man has influence. Number one, over sickness, and number two, over sin. So let's look at times of sickness first. And there's a lot of misunderstanding and misappropriating of these verses 14 and 15. For our purpose tonight, we don't want to lose the main emphasis on prayer. But I do believe it's appropriate for us to make some statements about sickness that are biblical. There's five of them I just want to tap on the head and go on. Number one, God's people are not exempt from sickness. We see this in verse 14 because the Bible says, "Is any sick among you?" And in context, the "you" all the way through this book are Christians.
And let me tell you something, folks. There'll be some people like Benny Hinn or whatever you want to call him who will try to make you think that if you're sick, you're out of the will of God. He has no Bible scripture for that. He is wicked for telling you that. That is unscriptural. And what he's doing is he's taking one verse and he's building a whole doctrine around that. And by the way, I wouldn't listen to anybody who has a woman as a hero in spiritual things who didn't know God herself. Amen. He takes his white suit, he wears that, and he wears that golden, those golden accents because his hero, this woman who pretty much was a devil in flesh, is where he gets his inspiration. Now you want to listen to that, go ahead, but listen to me, it will tear you all to pieces. God's people are not exempt from sickness. That is scriptural. Matter of fact, the Bible says in John 11:3, therefore his sisters, talking about Lazarus, sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. The Bible goes on to say in Job 2:7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So number one, God's people aren't exempt from sickness. Number two, sickness can be caused by sin. Not always, but it can be. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. And we see here that sickness can be the cause of sin. It can be. Matter of fact, in Numbers 12:1-10, Miriam became leprous for murmuring against Moses. In 2 Chronicles 16, Asa was diseased in his feet for mistreating God's man. In 1 Corinthians 11:29-30, many are sick for eating and drinking at the Lord's table unworthily. In other words, sin can cause sickness. It's also found in 1 Corinthians 10:8-10. Number one, God's people aren't exempt from sickness. Number two, sickness can be caused by sin. Number three, sickness is not always caused by sin. That's scriptural. Notice verse 15 says, if he have committed sins. If, not he did, but if he has. As a matter of fact, back in the book of John, don't turn to it, but back in the book of John, chapter number 9, the Bible says, and as Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answering, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in his life. Sickness can be caused by sin, but sickness is not always caused by sin. Number four, it's not always God's will to heal. I'm trying to help you tonight. It's not always God's will to heal. We see this in 2 Timothy 4:20 where Paul left Trophimus at Miletum sick. The Bible says. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, Paul had a thorn in his side, in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And the Bible says he besought the Lord three times and God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's not always God's will to heal. But for our purpose tonight, in this text, number five about sickness, God can heal sickness through the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, if he so desires. He can do that. Somebody said sickness is God's messenger to call us to meet with him. One of the brethren is sick, the Bible says in verse 14. The Bible uses in verse number 15, the prayer of faith shall save him. That gives the idea that it could be a life or death situation. Life or death. And the interesting thing here is that they're to initiate the process by calling for the elders of the church, the leaders of the church. It's unscriptural to announce healing meetings. Stay with me here. It's unscriptural to announce healing meetings, to pass out tickets to determine who gets in line and run people past the healer like sheep through a dipping trough. That's not scriptural. That's not the Bible. The elders are to pray over the sick, anointing them with oil, which could mean showing a dependence on Christ and his authority over the sickness. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, who's pictured by oil, bringing healing if he so desires. And the emphasis here is not on the oil, but on the praying, the prayer of faith. The oil could also picture the joy and happiness of the occasion. Because in Psalm 45:7, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness.
Hebrews 1:9, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Nobody really knows exactly what the oil pictures. I'm leaning more towards the Holy Spirit because He is sovereign over sickness, and if He so chooses, He can heal you. He can. It's not always His will, but He can. But here's the thing. It is not scriptural for me to get up here and say, listen, folks, bring all the sick folks. I'm going to breathe upon them, and I'm going to make them healed. I need somebody to breathe on me and knock me out. It's what I need if I say that. The scriptural thing is when somebody is sick and they realize that this is serious, I mean, this is sickness, they are to initiate it by coming to the elder, the pastor, and say, would you anoint me with oil and would you pray over me? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick if it's in His will. Amen. And what I'm saying to you here is that God is telling us that the effectual, fervent praying of a righteous man has influence in time of sickness. But number two, it has influence also in time of sin. Because the Bible says in verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. That you may be healed. Not that you will be healed, but that you may be healed. In other words, if you've wronged somebody, we need to confess and make it right. This goes back to the point that if you are sick tonight, that does not mean that there's sin in your life. But it does call you to check up and make sure there's not. Do you see the emphasis? It says, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It doesn't mean that if you're sick, God's punishing you. No, but it could be. Only you know that. And God is saying this, when you are sick, by the way, you ought to do this when you're not sick too. But when you're sick, he's saying, if you have wronged anybody, get it right. Make it right. Confess your faults one to another. Make it right. Then you may be healed. Stay with me. I'm trying to help you here. If you're sick and you're conscious that you've injured anybody, I'm talking about you're not right with somebody, and you know it and they know it, it is your duty to realize that God could be using this sickness to bring confession out of you and bring you back into relationship and communion with Him. Not relationship, but fellowship. See, in the cases specified here, this says that one thing that could help restoration to health. Now again, keep in mind, sickness is not always caused by sin. Sometimes God just allows it to draw you close to Him. But I'm saying if you're sick tonight, you need to check up. Make sure it's not sin. Make sure. Make sure you're right with God and right with your fellow men. And God says when that happens, you could be healed. See, if the sickness had been brought upon by special act of divine visitation for sin, it's hoped through this that when confession is made, the hand of God would be withdrawn. You see what I'm saying? In any case, if the mind was troubled by the recollection of guilt, it might be hoped that the calmness and peace resulting from confession would encourage the body to be able to heal itself. What I'm saying to you, I'm not preaching tonight that if you're not healthy, you're not right with God. I'm not preaching that. You're completely bypassing what I'm saying. But I'm trying to tell you something scriptural that's beautiful. God is stronger than sin. He's stronger than sickness. And if He so chooses, He can heal you no matter what's going on in your body. He can do that, folks. But you must deal with this scripturally. You must make sure you're right with God. Make sure if you have wronged your fellow man that you confess your faults. You get that right. You call for the elders of the church. They anoint you with oil. They pray the prayer of faith over you. That does not mean that you bypass doctors and bypass hospitals. Folks, those are God-given gifts to us. I'm not preaching that. Do all you can, but don't leave God out of the picture. Because if you ever get healing, it will not be a pill. It'll be the Holy Spirit of God that heals your body. That's what He's teaching here. The doctrine, which is something that I want to just tap on the head here, is Roman confession, Roman Catholic confession. Because these Roman priests are trying to take this, confess your faults one to another. And they try to make you think that means you're supposed to confess to a priest. But there are so many, that is so unscriptural, it's ridiculous. Let me give you some reasons why that right there is ridiculous. Because confession here is enjoined for a person who wants to be healthy, not saved. Amen. Secondly, it's mutual confession.
Notice verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. You ever been to a Roman Catholic confession? I hope not, amen. Hope you're not going to one now, but maybe you have in your past before you got saved. They want you to confess to them, but they won't confess to you. This verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. And what it's talking about is, a priest is never mentioned in this verse. He's talking about two people who are at odds with one another. You're to get it right with him. He's to get it right with you. Confess your faults. Reconcile. Pray to God. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
We're seeing here, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to show you something. The confession referred here is to faults, to one another. Not against the priest, for crying out loud. You can tell any Roman Catholic priest to come see me if he wants to see me and tell me that he's never sinned. Now he'll try to make you think he hasn't, and he just lied to you when he just said that. I'm sick and tired of people going out to false religions. You say, Jody, that sounds hateful. Call it what you will, but that's really love, because when you see somebody sending somebody to hell and you expose that, that's not hatred. That is love, folks. That's the love of God. That's the influence of it. Perhaps this is oftener than we realize one of the methods which God uses to bring people who have offended and backsliding children back to himself. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever warned you to come back to him? By the way, this doesn't mean he always uses sickness. He can use other things. Has God ever tenderly warned you? You know that you're not right with God. You know that you're holding bitterness against this person. You know you're not right with this person and so on and so forth. And God tenderly reaches down and touches you and he causes something to happen in your life. Why does he do that? Because he hates you? No, he does that because he loves you. And he realizes as long as you stay in that mess, you'll never have peace in your life. You'll never have the joy of Jesus Christ. He's trying to bring you tenderly back to himself. And he says, listen, if you've sinned, confess your faults one to another. Call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, if God so will it. I don't know if I'm doing an accurate job tonight, but I'm trying. I really am. So I ask you tonight, if you're sick, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you're sick, are you right with God? Are you right with God? If you are, then God's just tenderly allowing something in your life to draw you closer to himself and make heaven a little bit more sweeter in your life. No more pain, preacher. No more sickness. I'm not preaching if you're sick, you're out of the will of God. But the warning from Scripture is if you have sinned and you're sick, get it right. Get it right. Because God could have reached down and touched you and allowed that to draw you back to himself. Then there's a last thing we see about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, and that is the illustration of it in verses 17 and 18. Well, the Bible says Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. It might not rain, it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. In this, God gives us an illustration of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He's referring to 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, where Elijah's fervent, earnest praying withheld the rain for 3 years. You say, believe that? Every single word of it, I believe it. Every word of it, because it's the Bible. Genesis 20 verse 17 says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Numbers 11 2, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire quenched. In Joshua chapter 10 verses 12 and 13, the Bible says this, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? 1 Samuel 12, 18, so Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. I'm trying to show you something tonight, that if you are a righteous person, and what I mean by righteous is not that you're righteous in yourself, but you have placed your faith and trust in the righteous one, Jesus Christ, and you are now in him, and you are declared righteous before God the Father through the merits of Jesus Christ, his Son. If you're righteous tonight, you've been given an exalted privilege to talk directly to the Lord God of heaven. Think about it. As a matter of fact, the Lord wants our praying to be effectual and fervent. He's saying, if I have saved you, he said, I want you to pray effectually. I want you to pray fervently. And he gives you some instance for it in affliction, in sickness, in Mary. He gives you an ingredient for it. Pray believing me that I'm going to keep my word. He gives you the influence of it. It has influence over sickness. It has influence over sin. It's greater than those things. And he gives an illustration of it that just like Elijah prayed earnestly and fervently, it wasn't because of who Elijah was. It was because of who his God was and who his God is. So many times we lift up these men of God, and we should lift them up like Elijah and Moses and our preacher. I lift him up. I salute him. God bless him for his faithfulness. By the way, we ought to lift these people up more than we lift up the Michael Jordans of the world and all these Kobe Bryants and so on. But folks, we got to look beyond these people and see their God. He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that's kept preacher here 46 plus years. He's the one that's blessed Mrs. Lashley to have that wisdom to put these Sunday school lessons together. It's God who answers prayer. It's not my praying. It's his grace in answering my prayer that matters. And we ought to go to him effectually, fervently, pleading God for help for our marriages, for our homes, for our church, for the future, for God to bless and protect and take care and meet our needs. Let me ask you a question. Can you summarize your praying as being effectual and fervent? Are you effectually, fervently praying and asking God for things that only God can give? We see in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, we're just about through the book of James. And I'll let you in on a secret, and I'm closing. I'm asking God, he may not answer this question, but I'm asking God to help me preach through every book of the Bible. Every single solitary book of the Bible. And there's all kinds of sermon series he's laying on my heart, and I'm asking God to help me do that, if it's his will. But it is time in our life that we say phooey on everything else. I'm going to God. And I'm going to hold on to the altars. And I'm going to beg God effectually and fervently for answer in this specific area. And if it's in God's word, have faith he's going to answer it. If it's not in God's word, have faith he knows best and leave it at his feet and say whatever you choose is okay with me. Effectual, fervent praying of a righteous man. Let's all bow our heads together and pray. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this lesson. And Lord, I realize that I could have done a better job of describing some of these verses, but Lord, I believe that I've said what you wanted me to say. And I ask that you'll help somebody tonight with this. Challenge us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get ready up here, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me ask you some questions. Would you let me do that, please? Understand tonight that really the key word in this passage and in this text and in the title of this message is the word righteous. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And may I tell you tonight that if you're not righteous in the sight of God, you don't even have a prayer life. You don't even have the privilege of conversing with God Almighty. You can try, but you have no promise that he hears you, because the Bible says he doesn't hear the sinners, he doesn't hear the wicked. And every one of us are sinners and wicked. But when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he made us righteous. And he's allowed it to where we can pray. Is there somebody tonight say, Jody, if I die tonight, I'm not sure I'm righteous before God. I do not know that heaven is my home. That's what I'm asking. Please do not condemn yourself, because folks, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God, and he's watching you. If you can honestly before Almighty God say, I'm glad I'm righteous. And what you mean by that is that there's been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. You know that there's been a time in your life when you've placed your faith and trust in God's beloved Son. You're not relying on your works, you're relying on Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. And you say, I'm glad I'm a Christian, I'm born again. No doubt in my mind, I know I'm going to heaven, no doubts. You say, Jody, I thank God, I know that, I know that, I know that. If you can say that, would you raise your hand in the air as a testimony? Please do not raise it unless you know that for sure. Thank you. There are some people in here tonight who could not raise their hand to that question. And I want to say thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. It really does. And as God was looking at you, maybe you could not raise your hand. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you right now. If you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that. I do not know I'm righteous, or maybe you're just concerned about it. Or maybe you know that you are lost and there's never been a time when you've trusted Christ. Now, I want you to know, if you respond in just a moment, I'm not going to come to your seat. I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. I promise you that. But I would like to know if you're in this auditorium so I know how to proceed to help you with this. If you say, Jody, I just could not raise my hand to that question. Either you know you're lost or you're just doubting it and you're just not sure. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'd like to know that I'm righteous before God. I'd like to know that I can pray and that God will hear me. I'd like to know that I'm in His family. Is there somebody like that tonight? We're not going to come to your seat, but if that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air? Is there anybody like that right now? Yes, thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Yes, sir, thank you. You can put your hand right back down. If you raised your hand to that, I want you to do me a favor. There's nobody looking but our preacher and me. And I know that this is a highly, highly, highly personal question. And I thank you for being honest. But if you just raised your hand to that, I want you to do me a favor. I'd like you to lift your eyes and look at me. Would you do that? You've already raised your hand. Thank you both. I want you to turn to one another and catch each other's eye. You're sitting close to one another. I want to ask you a question. Do you know one another? In just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What you're looking at me right now for, and this is personal, and I'm going to keep my word. I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you. I don't even know you. And I wouldn't call you out if I did. But one day, I would have had to look up just like you. I don't have to do that anymore. It's nothing of me. It's all of Him. Just a minute, we're going to stand, and every head is still going to be bowed, and every eye is going to be closed. I'm going to ask both of you, along with those who are sitting beside you, if you'd like to do this, whatever, however you are comfortable, that's what we want you to be. Because I realize it looks like a half a mile walking all the way down here. I know that. That's how the devil works. You understand what I'm saying to you? We want to take a lady with you, and we want to take a man with you and share with you from God's Word how you can know. It may be you're just doubting. I don't know what it is. But it'd be a great thing for you to get this settled tonight. Amen. You know we're here to help you, right? We want to help you with this. God, help you with it. In just a moment, you'll know, because I'll point to you and I'll ask you to come. And we're going to help you with this. And if anybody that's on that row with you, if you want to bring him, I want you to bring him. You don't have to bring anybody but yourself. But if you would like to do that and make you more comfortable, I want you to do that. You understand what I'm saying to you? Thank you. Now, with you still looking at me, I want to ask another question to Christians. You say, Jody, I'm convicted about my prayer life. And none of us are praying like we should, but if you say, Jody, I'm convicted about this, God is speaking to me about effectual, fervent praying. God is speaking to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Effectually, fervently praying. Yes. Let me ask you this question. I think I said one more. Let me go a step further. I hope you're okay with that. Forgive me. There may be somebody sick tonight. And you say, Jody, I'm sick, but I need this. This is what I need. I need to turn it over to God. Make sure that everything's right. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? You say, I'm a sick person. God is speaking to me in this. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Yes, sir. Thank you. If you raised your hand to anything, I'm speaking directly to you. There are those who are doubting their salvation in our midst. And when you respond and step out and come, it makes it easier on them to step out and come. So I'm going to ask every one of you who raised your hand to step out in just a moment. I'm going to ask these two dear people, God bless you, to step out and let us help you tonight. Please, I'm begging you to do this. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it. In a mighty, mighty way, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is dealing with you, would you come? If you're struggling with your salvation right now, if you want to bring somebody with you, I want you to step out right now. Would you do that?
Would you let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know for sure that heaven is your
home? Have thine own way.
Why don't you step out now,
man?
Why don't you step out now, sir? I know God is dealing with you. I'm just asking you. We're not trying to force you to do this. Not trying to force you. If you'd like to come, now's your time. We have ladies ready. We have men ready. Why don't you let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord? Why don't you do that? Why don't you
have thine own way,
God help you with this.
Lord, have
may the Lord help you with
way.
This. May God
search
help you with
me
this.
And try me, amen. Master, today.
Amen. We're going to help you with
whiter
this. No doubt about
snow,
it.
Lord,
no doubt about it.
Wash me just now.
No doubt about it. God help
as
us with
in
this.
Thy presence,
no doubt about it. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We want to help you here. We want to help you here. No doubt about it. Praying and asking God to give deliverance and to save souls, to change lives, to make a difference. May the Lord help us with this. May the Lord help us. Amen. Amen. Let's help. Let's help. Let's check on the root. You understand? The root. The root, the root, the root. Salvation makes a difference in a person's life. What number is that, Brother Gary?
306.
If you're still standing, I'd like you to take a hymnal and turn to page 306. Let me say something to you. The devil tries to work on things like this, tries to get it sped up and tries to make people think that every eyeball's on them. Christians, are you glad some folks have responded in the area of salvation tonight? They may be dealing, they may be doubting, I don't know, but this is serious. Isn't it amazing how God takes a message like that I wasn't even sure even how to explain it all the way, and God breaks people's hearts in salvation. God's word's powerful, folks. It really is. Let's sing that first verse, Brother Gary, and ask God to meet with us tonight. Let's do it, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Let's keep singing as these people are dealing with
this. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Thy Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Folks, if you don't get excited about what's happening tonight, something's wrong. Something's majorly wrong. My, my, what heaven must be like, preacher. I told my wife at the end of last week, I said, I'm sick of this world. I'm ready to go home. God leaves us here for a reason. Amen. God. Preacher, you go ahead, sir. Thank you.
Just keep playing. Won't you be seated, please? Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Jody, for that great message. And then Dallas Crum's brother, Dudley, from, was that Glen Burnie? Oh, it's a son. Oh. Jack, I thought, Jack, I misunderstood you if you didn't say brother. But anyway, whoever you are, Dudley, we're glad you got saved tonight. You trust in Jesus as you say. All of you are happy for him, say amen.
Amen.
Now, you're Dallas' sister, huh?
The youngest one.
Okay.
I'm his
daughter-in-law. Okay. And you're saved, but you came with just...
I need my heart, the Lord, to help me.
Amen. Needed the Lord to help her. And I'll tell you, when problems come, we need the Lord. He's able to help you. God bless you. All of you are happy for Dudley and this dear lady, say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well, that's wonderful. Thank the Lord. Now, folks, I'm going to ask you, next Sunday is a great day. If we'll get out and work this week, and we've got a great evangelist coming, expecting people to be saved next Sunday. But we must get out and visit and work if we're going to have a good day for the Lord and pray. I mean, we need to do all we can and then pray for God's blessing. Just bow your heads for just a moment. I'm going to commit myself to making 10 hours of visits this week. 10 hours. And how many others would commit yourself to making 10 hours of visit this week? Just raise your hand. Let's see. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Got 4, 5, or 6 here. Okay, how many? And now, I realize that's a lot of hours. But how many could, maybe you can't make that. Some of you need to make 6 hours. You're going to have a bus or going to have a great crowd from your church, your class here next Sunday. And you probably won't make your goal on the buses if you don't visit at least 5 or 6 hours. How many would say, I'll try to visit 6 hours this week? Raise your hand. If you try to visit, okay, 1, 2, raise your hand. Okay, a few of you, raise your hand, okay. Maybe many of you ought to visit 4 hours. Now, on your bus route, you won't have a crowd if you don't visit 4. And probably your people won't be here if you don't visit your Sunday school class 4 hours. We need a number. Let's have at least 10 people. Raise your hand. I'll visit 4 hours this week. Let's see how many will do that. So hold it up. There's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One more. I didn't count the 10. Okay, fine. That's 10. How many of you say, I'll try to visit 3 hours next week, preacher? Raise your hand. If you'll try to visit 3. Okay, a number of you visit. But I'll try to make some visits. Raise your hand if you'll try to make some. Amen. And so all teachers, let's call everybody on our class roll, department roll, and bus captains, let's be out visiting now and have a great day. We'll be here at 10 o'clock, combined service next Sunday morning. And let's pray for God's blessing. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Why don't we have about 8 or 10 men just to come around the altar? Let's pray for a great day next Sunday. Just 8 or 10 men, come on down here. Let's pray for a great day next Sunday. Amen. Brother Harry Vickers, would you close us in prayer that God will give us a great day for his glory next Sunday? Amen. Good night. God bless you.